This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth, you tell me, before we get into Take-A-Mania, should this be treated as breaking news? The Yankees are allowing facial hair for the first time in 49 years. George Steinbrenner? Officially dead.
Oh.
He's kicked dirt on his grave.
One of the dumbest policies in all of sport.
Discipline.
Was treating the New York Yankees like they were young naval officers. Yeah. And not allowed to have facial hair. Yeah. You know who's happier about this than anybody? It's probably Garrett Cole's
wife. I was just going to say, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, some guys, you know, women like their guys with a little scruff, and Garrett Cole looks better with a little bit of scruff.
100%.
And now he's finally free to be Garrett Cole.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
There's nothing magical about the reason the policy came about is almost exactly why you figured it would have. I thought it might have been some anti-hippie rant or something Steinbrenner had back in the day. He said he believed that regulating his players' appearance would instill a sense of discipline. Yeah. Steinbrenner began noting which players he believed needed haircuts when he took over the Yankees in 1973.
Oh, that's funny. He made a list, huh?
But the policy was not codified until 3 years later in 1976. Yeah, because their hair couldn't touch their collars, too.
Wow.
So it wasn't just the facial hair. You couldn't have long, long hair either.
Steinbrenner had a big military background, did he not? I thought he...
Did he?
I thought he did. I may be wrong on that. Well... At least
thinking
as,
of, yeah.
As a baseball owner, I guess he did. I don't know. I'll look it up later. All right, let's get to this. So every Friday, we've started doing this now. There's so many bad takes out
sorry.
There.
Sorry. He went to Culver Military Academy, and then he was a second lieutenant in the Air Force.
That's so what I thought. I thought he was. So I didn't know the specifics, so thank you for that. Culver Military Academy, Indiana. Yeah. So we've started doing this at 9 o'clock on Fridays, especially during the off season here for football. It's a good time to do it. Bad takes. There are a lot of them out there. And so we've started treating it. I kind of like the way we treat this. Like there's a defending champ each week. For a while, it was Ross Tucker, whose take about, not even really a take, but just his expression of his methodology of possibly torpedoing business at restaurants so he could get reservations.
It was a take. It was a take because he suggested other people should do that. Is if you really like a restaurant, don't tell anybody about it then you won't be able to get reservations because it'll get too popular.
It was a take. All right, now so he was defeated last week. He was pinned 1-2-3 right in the middle of the ring by Angelo Cataldi, legendary broadcaster in Philadelphia, who said that Andy Reid is a fraud.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won zero championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won one. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won one. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports
all-time,
is Andy Reid.
All-time fraud.
He's all-time fraud. And mind you, three of his championships did come where Pat Mahomes was not playing his vintage, or two of his three championships with Kansas City came without Pat Mahomes playing vintage MVP caliber football.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like, it's just, so yeah, the fraud part, when he started off with overrated, I'm like, all right, I'll listen. Because yeah, sure. Are we talking like, okay, he's not as good as Belichick, or he's not as good as Bill Walsh or whatever. But yeah, fraud, come on.
This is going to be a tough champ to topple here, all right? Yeah. Angelo Cataldi. All right, so here we go. These are the contenders. This is the gauntlet Angelo Cataldi has to run today to remain the worst take artist in America. Tristan Casas, first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. We know that the Red Sox have a bit of a controversy going on right now. They signed Alex Bregman, who is one of the best third basemen defensively in baseball. Rafael Devers, one of the worst, doesn't want to give up his position. So Tristan Casas, who is now a teammate to both of them, mind you, not just Rafael Devers, had this to say when he was asked how he thought that should play out.
I think it's Rafi Devers' position. I think he's the third baseman, and at that point, that's where it stands. And he's done it for, you know, a really long time now. And I think he's only getting better at that position. I think his defense is getting better every single year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know it holds Rafi Devers. So yeah. I think he's got to play defense. It's going to keep him athletic. And he's going to hit because of, you know, him being at third base. He doesn't know any other position. He doesn't want to play any other position. And he's going to fight for it, even if it's with any of the younger guys, any new guy. I mean, I think he's the best third baseman in the league. I wouldn't take anybody over him. So I think he should play third base. Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of those things where Casas apparently has a reputation as a guy that just talks a lot, and he'll just hold court. And I saw some Red Sox fans angrily saying, "Well, it's his opinion, and he's entitled to it." As you pointed out, Sean, the easiest thing in the world for a player like this in something like this is to say, well, you know what? It's a decision that other people are going to figure out. I'm just going to support whoever, all of these guys, no matter where they play. It got worse and worse as he went along. Because then he started saying that he's improving and that he's gotten better. No, he hasn't. He's actually gotten worse. He's been worse than his best year as a third baseman. And then he says he's the best third baseman in the league. No, he's the best hitter who plays third base.
Yep.
He's not the best third baseman in the league.
Right. So the question becomes, Seth, is saying that Rafael Devers is an actual good defensive third baseman and the best third baseman in the league a worse take than Andy Reid being the biggest fraud in American sports?
No, because ultimately his motivation is, at least it comes from a good place. He's misguided, but it comes from a good place where he thinks he's one of these guys that I think that thinks he's supporting a teammate, but doesn't realize that you're actually just adding fuel to the fire and you're not helping anybody out. So at least his comes from a good place, where Cataldi's comes from pure pettiness and spite.
All right. So, so Tristan Casas is pinning Angelo Cataldi.
Can he do it? Connor!
Kicked out.
Yeah.
Angelo Cataldi kicks out. He's still the champ. All right, let's keep it moving. Draymond Green, why he hates the format of the All-Star game that involves the rising stars, young players being welcomed into being a part of this new All-Star format.
You work all year to be an All-Star, and you get to play up to 40, and then you're done. This is so unfair to Victor Wembanyama, who just took this game really seriously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just took this game really seriously. When you talk about chasing after the points records, Melo, Kobe, and all these guys who've had great scoring nights, they don't get the opportunity to do that with this game. Also, we can watch some rising stars. We're about to watch the Olympic team. Now we get the treat of watching the Olympic team play against a U19 team. Come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, Kenny's team is done, by the way. Chuck won. Kenny's team was one that's eliminated.
Yes.
Yeah, so SGA's still in it, Victor in it. But you're talking about the scoring records that we've heard. Tatum leading all scores, 55 a few years ago. It's harder to catch
now. They can't do that. They don't get to etch their name in the history books. It's the reason you get an All-Star, Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP award.
Scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format?
10 being the best.
Yes.
A 0. Sucks. Same basketball.
Okay, this is the problem, though. I think he makes valid points.
Makes valid points,
The take itself isn't necessarily bad at all. It's the hypocrisy of Draymond Green being one of the guys who took the All-Star game with such low seriousness that the league has resorted to gimmicky stuff like this.
Well, and
that's the part that was annoying.
And the record, the scoring record in the All-Star game, as if it's some hallowed record. Like, does anybody know? Like, I don't know. I love basketball. I used to love the All-Star game. Like citing the scoring record in the All-Star game and bragging about that is like bragging about having the high score at a Papa shot at a bar somewhere.
It's like, okay, the scoring record, is there an asterisk next to that because it was in the era where they stopped playing defense whatsoever? Right?
Yeah.
It might as well be a free throw competition.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And yet, is that worse than Cataldi saying Andy Reid is the biggest fraud in American sports?
No, Draymond, it's a bad human being take, but not a bad take in and of itself.
Yep.
All right. Can he do it? Cover! Oh, and a kick out!
Kick out by Cataldi. Kicks out again. He remains the champ. All right, he's got two more challengers here. This will be a quick one. This is personal to me. Micah Shrewsbury, the head coach of Notre Dame basketball, went on this rant when Louisville beat Notre Dame at home in front of a crowd that included way more Louisville fans. He started making promises at the end here.
We're going to get this thing rolling. I sat there and watched more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me because I'm the head coach here. And I got us in this predicament. But don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning because we're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. Care if you gave up on me or not.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost They lost Wednesday after that rant at home to SMU by 24.
This is one that can only be judged after the fact. You have to see what happens because it could end up being one of the best takes of all time. If they rebound, maybe even after this last game, maybe they rebound from it and have a hell of a. The one thing that I really give him a bad mark on is he said for all the people who questioned me.
Yeah,
he didn't say questioned us.
Yeah,
he's like questioned me. All right, man, you're the coach. All right, I'm sure you preach team and we're all in this together and everything. Like, all right, don't make it all about you.
He also did the bad thing you can't do. When you're going on a rant and you're on one, like he started to get on one there at the end. He started calm and started crescendoing. He said, don't come back when we're losing. I mean winning. Like, you know, you know, that just
happens to the best of
them. It does, but it takes the starch out of a promo. Like, you know, it just is. And
We'll have to save that till the end of the basketball season,
maybe.
And then we can maybe reassess it. If they lose every game by 20 points, then he might be able to contend with Cataldi.
Good call. He wasn't even pinning Cataldi on that one, Ben. Like, Shrewsbury just jumped out of the ring and walked back to the dressing room.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now this is an interesting one. This is the last one. This one needs to be set up, okay? You're going to hear from Mad Dog Russo here. He's not the one with the bad take. His colleague, Stephen A. Smith, who you're also going to hear, is the one with the bad take. Here is Mad Dog Russo complaining about the Dodgers' $391 million payroll.
How are you supposed to compete when a team has got four or five times your payroll? And you can sit there and say, well, why can't the Pirates spend $392 million? Well, the Dodgers get $321 million a year from TV contracts. The Pirates don't get that kind of money. So it's an inequity in the revenue stream. And that's the problem with these payrolls. Football, they all make the same amount of money. Basketball, they all make the same amount of money. That means Green Bay can win. That means the Kings can win in basketball. Hockey, same thing. Doesn't work that way in baseball. And I don't know how they're going to correct it. There's no salary cap forthcoming. Look at this payroll. Yeah. I mean, and you know what the payroll is of the Marlins?
What?
$43 million.
Wow.
How are you supposed to compete, Steve? Help me here.
Okay,
393 to 43. What's the answer?
Wow.
The reason why he's going, Steve, help me here, is like Stephen A. had a look on his face like he didn't really want to delve into this topic. He's like, Steve, help me here. He just looked kind of disinterested. He looked kind of disinterested, right?
Oh yeah.
And so we're gonna play Stephen A.'s take as the bad part of this take. So I don't think that's a bad take. I think that's a very generic take. Like, these teams have too much money. These teams don't have enough money, right?
It's a classic just a classic rant. Yeah.
So here is Stephen A's counterpoint to Mad Dog Russo.
Well, no. But you're thinking a worst-case scenario, which you just highlighted, the 393 compared to the 43. What you're not thinking about is, yes, they spend, but they also develop, and they're also opportunistic. For example, Mookie Betts, the Boston Red Sox could have paid him. They chose not to. You look at Freddie Freeman, the Atlanta Braves could have paid him. They chose not to. You look at Shohei Ohtani, the Angels didn't even try to match that. I'm simply saying that there are other teams, but there are several other teams who could have paid these people and wanted to do things differently and have no hardware to show for it. You got to take that into consideration and then ask yourself this question. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that Mookie Betts was getting paid the same salary, but he was in Boston. And Freddie Freeman was getting paid the same, but he was in Atlanta. He stayed in Atlanta. Okay? If you've got other players spread throughout where there are enough teams to pay somebody like that, then you can't complain. The fact is that the Dodgers have the money, but they're not the only team to have money. You said it. The Mets payroll is $320 million. The Yankees have money. The Boston Red Sox have money. Other teams have money as well. They're just choosing not to spend and go for it. That's on them.
The part where he's listing the players being able to stay with their teams, it's like, no, but the Dodgers are signing all of them.
Yeah, they have 50% more revenue than the Astros.
Right.
You know, like, the actual revenue is just that much higher.
Right.
And then he's bringing up the Mets have spent. Mets have spent. So that, I guess, that buttresses his point, because, okay, you could say they just haven't spent as well.
Yeah.
But there's very few teams that can actually stockpile players the way the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets can.
He's making Mad Dog's point, which Mad Dog's point wasn't just about the Dodgers. It was about the top heaviness of baseball. And he's making the point, like, okay, who else can spend? And by the way, like, even some of the teams he names, not that I'm crying poverty for the Red Sox or anything, but like, some of these teams can't go to 390 million. Even some of the richer team, like the Astros are typically like a top six payroll. Like, they're in they're in the tippy top compared to most of the rest of the league. They can't go to $390 million when you factor in the luxury tax on top of that.
That's where, and that's the revenue is 50% higher for the teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. It's just that the Houston's payroll right now is at $204 million.
Yep.
The Dodgers is at $313
million. Yeah.
You know, like, they would not be able to keep up with all the luxury tax and everything that teams like those huge market teams
can. So the question is, Stephen A. Smith, he's got Cataldi pinned to the mat right now for worst take.
Yeah.
Does Cataldi kick out, or do we have a new champion, Seth?
No, partly because Stephen A. Smith did a good job of convoluting things
He did.
Yeah, I was kind of
excellent at that.
He almost made like three or four points there, hoping that one of them would stick.
Yeah.
So, no. Cataldi's the king.
Can he do it? Cover! Oh, and a kick out!
Cataldi's still the champ. The winner, and still.
And Cataldi, if Cataldi had just stuck to overrated and not fraudulent, it wouldn't have been as bad a take. I mean, he ignored the fact that, Cataldi's bringing up that, he had Pat Mahomes as his quarterback. Yeah, and when Reed had Donovan McNabb as his quarterback, he went to four NFC Championship games. I'm guessing Cataldi isn't a huge Donovan McNabb fan.
Right.
You know, like, I'm guessing he doesn't think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played.
Correct.
And that Andy Reid squandered his talent and ability.
All right, so Angelo Cataldi, still the bad take champion of the world here on Payne and Pendergast. All right, coming up next, the Texans. They're going to the combine next week. They're going to have to start making some decisions here pretty soon. The league year will be starting, which means free agency starts before we know it. It's starting less than 2 weeks after we get back from Astros spring training. They're going to have to open up some cap space to make some improvements. Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle has a really good informative piece on the ways that they can do it. How likely do we think they are to do some of the things that Jonathan is recommending in this piece? We'll talk about that coming up next.